Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes, and this is The Bite Show. And we're really blessed, believe me, to have Randy Moggins here. He is an independent researcher, a truth seeker, and a broadcaster. You can find his websites, threshingfloor-radio.com, and also offplanetradio.com. And our last talk was utterly, it was really great. The Anunnaki Matrix and the Law That Is Not.
Well, Georgianne, thanks. It's always great to get on with you because I never know how you're going to unlock me this time. It's really a great way to just kind of do a head dump, and you seem to have the ability to pull things out of me that I don't even know are there sometimes.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, Randy, do you think that they would pull the trigger on this pandemic? Do you think they're that desperate?
I think there's a couple of mitigating factors in that scenario. I don't rule it out. And I've considered this deeply. We're talking here about Ebola.
Yeah.
Warnings that are coming from the government, basically based on a migration coming out of South Africa, as I understand it, and somehow or another we wind up with Ebola victims in the Carolinas. So I'm not sure what mechanism was going on with that or how people migrating out of South Africa wind up here, except that they are bringing them in the first place.
Yeah, they haven't closed any of the airports, you know.
So, you know, the question becomes, what is their game? What is their plan?
Yeah.
And when we begin to look at the global scene right now, I think their plan is a plan of obfuscation and an attempt to buy time on a clock that's ticking down on their system.
Wow. Well, do you mean when you say ticking down, do you mean that they should already have their new world order in place by now?
They should have had their new world order in place in 1998, according to their own clock. We saw the ramifications of that when they hit the World Trade Center. And we know that they've been furiously grasping for straws ever since, even as our credibility, and when I say us, I mean the Strawman Corporation masquerading as the de facto United States of America Incorporated, which has taken over our government.
Yes.
You know, it's important to phrase that. People are confused right now about their identities. They're proud to be Americans. They're ashamed to be Americans. Well, the truth of the matter is that the government has been vacant for over 150 years, as nearly as I can tell. The Civil War seems to have marked the start of the government basically being taken over by corporate fascist,
yes,
Vatican interests.
Yes, yes. Well, get more into that, Randy, because this is this is the heart of the topic. I mean, yikes.
Well, the banking system that the cabal put together through their agents, the Rothschilds, and, you know, the City of London, triangulated to the Vatican, triangulated across to Israel, and the United States basically became the tin soldier for the rest of the planet. We got to the Civil War, and through Reconstruction, the 14th Amendment, the Washington, D.C. Organic Act, we began to see the appropriation of power because of Congress being vacated. Remember during the Civil War that one of the triggers for the Civil War was the vacating of Congress by the delegates of the southern states.
Mm-hmm.
This had to do with the election of a bar member named Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Now, most people get all fuzzy about Lincoln, but they have to remember that the 13th Amendment, the original organic 13th Amendment of the United States, outright banned the holding of office by anybody in the government. It was not a federal government at that time. It was the government of the United States of America, the people. It banned anyone who held titles of nobility,
yeah,
were members of societies, or held cards bearing the registry of the British Office of Regency, which were the courts of the City of London.
Yes.
All of that got swept under the carpet very handily during the Civil War, and during the preceding decades was completely washed away under color of law of the 14th Amendment, which created this thing called a U.S. citizen, which did not free the emancipated slaves, but in fact enslaved all of the other citizens who embraced the title of U.S. citizen. That's the identity crisis that most of us have, is that we are people living on the land in a nation that has been under occupation by foreign banking, religious, government, and magisterial interests for 150 years.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
Well, it's historically true to anybody that wants to do the research on the matter, and there's plenty of work out there that demonstrates this.
Yeah.
And it's cascaded down to the place where we are today, where this government, since 1947, when it was established under the National Security Act, for reasons that are becoming increasingly apparent, has created agencies upon layers of agencies, black government projects, PSYOPs, intelligence agencies, agencies that are not mandated by any organic act of law in the United States, but were done under the rubric of this reorganization that began in 1933 under Roosevelt,
yeah,
and that continued through the World War II period. And I'm not showing all of this because these are subjects that require tens of hours to cover with any detail at all.
Yes, I know.
So it's a long answer to the question, but the answer is that what we know right now is that global events are swimming in a slightly different tidal pool right now than the United States. And I refer here, of course, to the alliances that are occurring with Russia, Brazil, India, China, South American countries like Brazil. I mentioned Brazil, didn't I?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the BRICS coalition, basically. With those nations, it looks like right now we're seeing signatories to the BRICS alliance of 134 nations, which seems to also include Germany and France. This, in fact, is the implosion of the U.S. petrol dollar.
Yes, it certainly is. And, you know, the way this de facto government that we're under has abused the rest of the world. I mean, Randy, it's just amazing, the abuses. I mean, even Germany is chomping at the bit to trade with Russia, you know, to align differently. I mean, they still have some industry and production.
You're talking Germany and Russia, despite their historical differences,
mm-hmm,
are very, very much aligned in terms of their cultures, in terms of the fact that they are industrious people,
mm-hmm,
and the fact that they have been, in a lot of ways, stalwart defenders of their own realms. We can't say that about our own nation.
That's right.
The people of this country have been sold down the river by their own government. We have been used and exploited as a people on a scale never seen. We have been taxed, devalued, had our land stolen from us. We have stolen from the native people who lived here before us. We have plundered foreign lands in ways that the pirates of Barbary would have never dreamed, Georgianne.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And isn't it interesting that the people at the top of the government themselves are pirates? They're the skull and bones. They're the ones who fly the flag of piracy. And they do it unashamedly inside their ante rooms where they meet.
Yes.
For the perverted satanic rituals. Mm. Much like Bohemian Grove.
Yes. Yes.
I'm thinking, you know, right now they're very desperate, and any move they make is being watched by the outside world.
Yeah.
I have regular contact with people both on the Pacific Rim and in parts of Europe, and they're appalled at the level of deception we live under here in the United States. They are amazed that we live in this menagerie, this Truman Show-like existence where the media is sealed down and spends 24 hours a day selling us lies and glamorous trash,
yeah,
instead of telling us the truth about our own state of governance.
Well, you know, it's like the CNN newscasters. They do it for a freaking paycheck. You know, Randy, it is, the level of deceit is so enormous. Boy, talk about living inside the Matrix. The United States is number one. And it's just, I don't know, the people, there's still a lot of people out there that, how can you say that about your government? I'm a U.S. citizen, you know, without even realizing what that means. The deceit is just enormous.
Well, and, you know, I'll grant some slack here for the average person that honestly, genuinely struggles with this. I think you know this. I spent probably 25 years of my life unraveling this.
Yes.
I think you have. I think many of the honest researchers who are out there, who are, you know, putting out the best truth they can, who have integrity,
mm-hmm,
have spent part of their lives unraveling this. This is not an easy thing to pull apart.
That's right.
Because we grew up in it.
Yeah.
Everybody in the United States alive now has never lived in the real United States.
That's
right. At least as it was organically constituted.
That's right.
We have all lived in the Matrix because we are all products of the post-World War II era, and we have lived in a security state where our government has told us we are not entitled to certain information. In fact, we're not entitled to much information at all. And, oh, by the way, let's buy up all the media outlets, newspapers, television stations. Let's condense them so that they're owned by less than five people anymore. And then let's put wire services out so that it's all homogenized and you all get the same news 24/7 a day. It's brainwashing, mind control, and Orwell should be embarrassed that he underestimated what these people could actually do.
Yeah. Boy, you can say that again. Even, you know,
It's a deep, dark hole.
Oh, yeah. You know, the other night I watched a movie. It was a Western. And it was about, who was that blondish guy that, at the Little Bighorn, that was killed finally? Custer.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And it was about, it showed how the Indian people were so disgusted because we broke every treaty. We did nothing but lie to them, wanted to cram them into little reservations like, you know, Crayolas in a box. And if you looked at this movie, you were supposed to rah, rah, rah on the side of the U.S. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And darn those Indians, they had it good, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can see the mental processes that you are supposed to be engaged in when you're watching these movies. I mean, once you have unplugged from the Matrix, you can see it. It's everywhere. It's just everywhere.
Most people in America aren't aware that we have death marches on this continent.
That's right.
They don't know about Wounded Knee. They don't know about the Trail of Tears. They don't know about the genocide we perpetrated against indigenous peoples living on this continent.
That's
whose
right.
land they never claimed to own. They simply understood, this is the interesting thing, our system of law is based on quasi-ownership of property by conquest.
Yeah.
And yet, oddly enough, we find ourselves, when we're honest and we look at things, that we own nothing anyway.
Yeah.
The system makes it impossible for us to even own our own homes without leasing them for annual real estate taxes to the governments.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in the end, what looks like a conquest looks more like defeat for the people who have grown up in this culture, this petri dish.
Yeah. God. Oh, boy. Can you get into more explanation to people about their birth certificate, their, some of the basics, Randy?
At the birth certificate, let's just look at it symbolically for a minute.
Okay.
I have an old trunk up in my attic, and it contains a family Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Recorded in that Bible are the births and deaths of several generations in my family.
Yes.
The idea of a birth certificate is a fairly modern idea here in the United States, and it was one that basically came out of the need to begin registering. Pardon me a minute. I'm going to sneeze right into this microphone.
Oh.
I might have to mute for a second here. Pardon me.
Okay.
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 So basically, it's a modern idea. I don't have the exact dates in front of me or the data. But the idea of the birth certificate was really to begin registering people as instruments of surety.
Yeah. Yeah. And the marriage certificate is relatively new also. People never had marriage certificates.
No.
And all that does is make the U.S. corporation makes you and your children, the government is third party to your relationship.
Well, there were forms of this before. You can go back into feudalism and back into medieval times, and you begin to see patterns where these type of documents were used largely to confer feudal lands and feudal vassals on the lands, the peonage.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, the ministers of finance who did that were the modern-day equivalent of lawyers. The term attorney actually comes from the vassal lords who were called the attorneys. And these were the agents who would move ownership of different feudal estates between owners.
Hmm.
And so we see forms of this in different systems, but it was never formalized in the United States until, I'm guessing, and I'd have to look, but formally I'm betting this system came into being sometime in the 30s or the 40s, around the same time that you start to see marriage licenses and things like that, although I think that's a little earlier. But the idea that we record our private events, even the idea of the birth, well, think about maritime law and think about a birth on a ship.
Yeah.
And think about everything that goes into that. And you are born on a ship of state and you are given a birth certificate which places you under the authority of the mercantile court system.
And when you go to court, if you should ever, and the judge asks you to step forward because you're not on his side of the railing, just say, "Sir, I cannot board your ship."
There's
and,
another side.
And he knows what that means.
Of course they do. And they're all Freemasons, too, so they understand the symbolism behind it as well. Because that's all part of the Masonic lore that they're steeped into. The biggest trap that I see, and it goes to the birth certificate, is the name. The idea of these legal names and the paperwork that goes on with the creation of a legal name. My name, Randall Moggins. Well, my name would not be rendered that way voluntarily.
Right.
The proper name, my first name is Randall, and I am of the family of Moggins as a natural man inhabitant upon the land of where I am presently existing. And even, you know, here's the pitfalls. I just went through that sentence. All of those words are like stepping over landmines. Because if you say resident, you have created another legal entity.
Yeah.
Inhabitant on the land, that seems to be okay. But see, what they've done is they've trapped us with language. They've trapped us with terms. They've taken names given to us, a given name, and they've converted that name using the birth certificate, all capitals, letters, which is the way it's rendered now, but hasn't always been. But the conversion happens on the back of the certificate when it is sent off to the World Bank as a surety bond to continue financing the adventures of the monetary system under the Federal Reserve, IMF, and World Bank.
Well, I've heard that all of our names are patented. They've patented all of our names.
I've heard that, too. I've not seen compelling legal proof for that, but there may be some truth to that. As to whether it would be a patent or a copyright, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the purpose is. The purpose may get a little more sinister when you start to look at the collection of DNA.
Yeah.
Realize that they are compiling huge databases of DNA of us, and that that DNA is unique, and that that DNA is probably being patented, which would go along with this created fictional identity that we have. So they patent our DNA. They now become God who owns us and claims to have created us.
Oh, boy.
You see, this is, Georgian, the veil that we have lived under.
Yes.
And there's cracks in it. It's huge. Because we live in a world which has been dominated by dark systems of religious mysticism
for
tens of thousands of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And there is none more dangerous than this cult of Armageddon that masquerades as Christianity today.
The boy, you can say that again. They are out there supporting Israel's genocide of the poor Palestinian people. My God. And this whole thing, Randy, is alleged to have started over the killing of a Jewish boy, that people have come out now and written things that this was actually perpetrated by the Jewish people themselves in order to give the state of the Israelis a reason to go to war against these Palestinians. And I find that quite plausible, because they have been just, Tel Aviv has just been rife with, we've got to have a war, we've got to do something, you know, it's so evil, it's just evil.
Well, the people who live in the Gaza, the Palestinian people, they're in the middle of something quite horrible.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know, all conflicts and wars are financed on both sides by the bankers at all times. You know, this goes back goes back certainly to 100 years ago. We'll just start with World War I because it's a convenient bookmark for us. So, in the margin of things, you know, the Palestinian people, the people who live there, are being exploited by both sides, because Hamas is just as controlled as is the Israeli Defense Forces.
Yeah.
All of them have exploited situations to their own ends. All of them were created by intelligence agency activities over a very long period of time. Hamas has very little to do with the struggles of the Palestinian people. They don't represent them. They are simply, like us, dealing with a de facto coalition that has been allowed to exist for the purposes of maintaining strategic tension in that region.
Well, so, Israel, I think, was responsible for creating Hamas to begin with.
And I don't disagree with that. That's historically very true. You remember the former leader who died, Muammar Gaddafi.
Yes.
When Muammar Gaddafi was on his deathbed, I held a Muammar Gaddafi death watch on my radio show. I was on shortwave radio at the time, and it was kind of a humorous thing for me, you know, because every week I'd go, well, he's not dead yet. And all that levity aside, the point is that Muammar Gaddafi, I believe, died in a hospital bed in Paris. He did not die in Palestine. Gaddafi was financed, as have all of these insurrectionists, you know, by London, by Rome, Paris, the European interests who stand to gain from this, and propped up by the force of the American people. So, you know, and I say that to balance things, because you can go uber anti-Zionist and not understand that Hamas also served the Zionist agenda.
Yeah.
Because you can't see the big picture. Most people don't understand that the puppet master in all of this has many names, many guys, as many political forms. In this case, Zionism is the control grid, because it embraces the Abrahamic faith, monotheistic faiths, in a way that creates the kind of tension that gives you this ongoing war. I mean, all of our wars now seem to have an ignition point centered around Christianity, Judaism, and Islam.
Yeah, they sure do. You meant Gaddafi in Libya, right? Not Palestine.
That's right. You're right. Yeah.
Okay.
I've been a little fuzzy on my details on some of that. That's been a long time. So the bottom line is that all of these leaders are set up. They're puppets. They're financed. They're made to be the good guys, they're made to be the bad guys, and all of that's done simultaneously to multiple audiences. And so Hamas, Israeli Defense Forces, you know, they all serve the same master, and in the middle of this, it's just collateral damage for the Palestinian people, my heart goes out to those people.
Oh, mine too, Randy. Oh my God, so many children are dead, you know, and I think it's the somebody from that part of the world that's at the UN gave Israel the coordinates for the UN schools so Israel would not bomb the schools. And what does Israel do? They bomb the schools.
Well, Israel doesn't believe that these are even human beings.
Yeah,
they
that's right.
As, you know, the goyim.
Yeah.
Cynically, that's the way they view all of us.
That's right.
You know, were this type of conflict to come to our shores, which it may, rest assured that you are viewed as the goyim, that you are not human, you don't have an immortal soul, you are not part of the covenant of Yahweh, and therefore you are just basically cannon fodder.
Yeah. Explain to people what you mean when you say Christian Zionism.
There couldn't be a more, what a complete contradiction in terms that is.
Yeah.
That term really has only been around in various forms for maybe since the 1860s, but it has to do with the embracing of the two covenants and the idea that there were dispensations. This is what's called in theology dispensationalism. And you'll see it in the more fundamental evangelical cults. Moody Bible group is a very notorious group of dispensationalists, pro-Zionists. C.I. Schofield, the Schofield Reference Bible.
Oh,
which
my
is
gosh, rapid, yes.
Very pro-Zionist.
Yes.
The idea that there was this final conflagration that had to occur to convert the Jews to belief in Jesus Christ so that he could return and save everybody, and you would get raptured. No, wait a minute, you wouldn't get raptured. No, wait a minute, there's no rapture. Oops. I spent 10 years deconstructing all of this on radio, and it's confusing because of the way that I used to think the way they twisted scripture, but what I realize now, Georgianne, is that this book is the pitfall. This religion that was based on this Old Testament, New Testament God that somehow migrates between ages and winds up with a son named Jesus walking the earth, and that they're the same guy.
No.
And the obfuscation that's going on there of maintaining the facade that this God of war was the same God who was the creator and the loving father of humanity.
Yeah.
So Zionism is basically a political movement. It you know, was formalized by Theodor Herzl in 1891, I think. The book Der Judenstaat, or the Jewish State, where Herzl stated that he saw Israel returning to its lands as a socialist state. So that makes Herzl contemporaneous with Engels and Marx in the creation of Marxist socialism.
Gee. Well, how anybody can believe in a favorite people, God's people, it makes God out to be a freaking racist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the God of their Bible. Gee. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all, Randy.
Well, almost all theology seems to have the monotheistic theologies.
Yeah.
All have this.
Yeah.
This idea of the chosen people. Islam has it, Judaism has it, Christianity has it.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent years on this trying, and I did 7 or 8 years on a constant thread examining the book of Revelation, the Old Testament books, Daniel, Ezekiel. We generated thousands of hours of airtime. We generated thousands of pages of documentation. In the end, I had this moment when I looked at it and I went, this is confusion.
Yes, it is.
You can make this say anything you want it to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to, if you're honest, step back. And this is where you're going to find out if you're a spiritual person or if you are a zombie attempting to follow what I call the Armageddon script.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to be a Christian to follow the script. You're already written into it. They are writing it. I just made this statement on Facebook today. I intercepted a group of people who have tried to continue the work that I abandoned. And good grief, arguing about prophecies in the New Testament and the Old Testament,
oh,
who's chosen and what's going to happen. And so I finally took the gloves off and I said, look, there is no prophecy in the Bible. This is a script that was written.
Yes.
This is a script that's being played out, and you are part of it because you are a part of believing that you're chosen and that somebody else is destined to go to hell or be destroyed or have their head cut off or whatever the hell these people believe.
Yeah.
But it's not compassionate, it's not loving, it's not solving anything, and it is contributing to the bloodshed and genocide that has spread over this globe for over 2,000 years now as a result of this bloody religion.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Randy, I have stated very plainly that anybody who calls themselves a Christian and is supporting Israel is immoral. They are actually immoral. Not amoral, immoral. Because the activities of Israel are totally, totally vicious, genocidal. It's, oh my God.
Well, there are thousands of Jewish people that would agree with you. The
yes.
Orthodox Jews, the Hasidic Jews, certainly agree with you.
Yes.
They have repeatedly said, there will not be a state of Israel until Messiah comes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is their belief system.
Yes.
And for having said that, whatever they believe or don't believe about a Messiah that's come or has been or is not, I'm not willing to argue with them because they're not out there attempting to establish a state. They're not out there attempting to make themselves better than everybody else. They are not the Zionists. They may actually be the real remnant Jews on the face of the planet, while the rest of them appear to be, I'm not sure what they are.
Well, they say they're Jews, but are not.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah.
Ashkenazi, I mean, we have so much interbreeding and migration and convoluted history. But what scares me the most about this, Georgian, is a thought that I've had for quite a while now.
Okay.
We're in a loop in terms of our timelines and our history.
Yeah.
And there are many people who have sensed this. Now, you know, the New Age community doesn't get this right, but in some ways they're closer than the Christians. The Christians know nothing.
Yeah.
It's very clear to me that this planet, this solar system, and in fact this galaxy, are moving, and that we are moving into a shift phase.
Yes.
That shift phase, to me, marks a change in the ages. Our best records indicate, Georgiana, that we've been through age shifts before, that the Earth is much, much, much older than, well, Christianity says it's 6,000 years. I get lots of my backyard older than that. Are you kidding me?
Come yeah.
On. Right? There's petroglyphs out there that directly say that. Well, that's the Bishop Eicher who put that together because he was a biblical literalist too.
Yeah.
So we're in something that's quite extraordinary and mystical right now. And what is happening is an awakening. What is happening is a shift. The shift is with the Earth itself. We're going through Earth changes. We're going through a shift in the poles. We're going through a shift in our position in terms of the solar system, the galaxy, the universe, and the super solar system, because we are systems within systems.
Yes.
And I'm saying that because we're attempting to complete our historical timelines based on what I think may have been previous timelines, where things were very different. This is an idea I've trotted out amongst some of the people that I talk to a lot, and a lot of people are finding resonance with this. So on this show tonight, we'll just put this out there. People can take away from that whatever they wish. But I have a strong sense that this Armageddon script is encoding, designed to take us to a place we do not want to go as a culture.
Boy, you can say that again. Wow. That's right.
This violence that we live in, this culture of violence and taking, of looking at other people as being not even human. Oh, there's non-humans on this planet. Believe me, that's another subject. But for right now, our brothers and our sisters on this planet, we look at them as enemies. We look at them as property. We look at them as something to be mowed under by a tank. For what? For conquest and greed and finance and money? It's an old script.
Yes, it is.
Script of the fallen. Mm. It's the script of the Archons, the Anunnaki, whatever you want to call them. But this violence and these violent religions feed into this loop that keeps shooting us back into this low-level energy system and not getting to a place where we move up in the energetic levels of existence and spiritual being.
Absolutely right on. That is so right on. Oh,
we are etheric antennas. Our bodies are constructed as parabolic antennas.
Yeah.
To receive emanations from the galactics. I mean, I don't walk away from the fact that I believe in God, and I don't walk away from the fact that I believe that this is a God who communicates with us in incredible ways, but mostly communicates with us through the natural things around us, the resonance cycles that are now disrupted, the natural processes, the seasons, the earth itself. It, this living organic thing that we live on was intended to protect us.
Yes.
We've defiled the earth, and we've defiled our own spirits with the blood of our brothers and sisters out there.
Mm-hmm. True. Absolutely.
Oh, and the greatest way to divide people is by religion.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That should be engraved in gold. It's absolutely the golden rule.
Yeah. I know there are people who will hear this, because I get it from people who hear my shows. I just spoke with somebody who I'd never met before, who had heard my Threshing Floor shows and has followed me through doing the off-planet radio shows,
mm-hmm.
and watched as I kind of went through all these changes. There are people who are struggling with the truth, and when you hit certain levels of truth and reality, you will melt down. You will have psychic breaks.
Yeah.
Or you will go safely back into the matrix and stay comfortable with your state of illusion. Go to the psychic break. Be willing to risk going through the darkness that you have to go through to glean truth, because it is the most worthwhile journey I have ever undertaken. And it's been part sometimes. It's been painful.
Yeah.
What I just described about what I learned about the Bible, about Christianity, was a painful experience for me. I spent 7 years on radio promulgating all this stuff.
Yes. Yes.
But the waking up experience from that and dealing with it spiritually and mentally is one of the most rewarding processes I've gone through, because it actually reformed the connective link between me and my Creator.
Yes, absolutely. It does. That's the end. That's the end game of it. Once you have unplugged from all that garbage that you've been taught all your life about the religion, about the government, about the world, all of it, and you unplug from it, you are then available to establish a very strong and unique link to the Creator. Absolutely true, yes. Randy.
See, in all these holy books, there is wisdom and there is truth.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to hear, we have to glean that from a higher perspective.
Yes.
The unfortunate thing about all the religious systems in the world is that they became self-actualized, self-interpreting systems with a priesthood. And in the case of evangelical Christianity, you just have droves of priests. Everybody's a priest now.
Yeah.
And everybody's interpreting.
Yes.
And what they don't realize is that in their interpretations, they're going exactly where they were led in the first place, because they have what I'll call an internal coding.
Yeah.
Evangelical Christians, I understand the best because I was one, and I know what my coding was. I was led to believe certain things. The truth of the matter is that in a lot of cases, I've actually had to go to the opposite direction in order to arrive at a truth. I've had to invert things.
Well, you have done a splendid job of freeing a lot of people from that horror that, when you talk about the cycles and things like that, I don't know how people cannot see it. And I think you're right, absolutely, Randy, about the shedding of all of this garbage in order to go to a higher place. It just makes so much sense.
So, Jane, we've been programmed to get up every day, immerse ourselves in this three-dimensional world,
mm-hmm.
live in an economic system that is highly unnatural to us.
Yes.
Competitive system that requires us to be like hamsters on a wheel, to live in artificiality, to live in square boxes, to live detached from the earth, to live detached from spirit, because in our lifetime we've seen the electrosphere around us grow, the spectrum, the electromagnetic spectrum around us is so loud now that you can actually physically hear it.
Yeah.
Our etheric antenna is being slowly drowned out to the place where it requires, quite frankly, some very diligent practice in order to get quiet enough to sit down and actually hear inside yourself and hear your spirit.
Yes. And, meditation, a lot of Christians look upon that as, well, that's New Age garbage.
Oh, I've been told it's satanic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gee.
Well, meditation is as individual as the person themselves. I think we all have a code inside of us in order to reach that place.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step is simply to get still, to get quiet. Years ago on the threshing floor, this was actually still on the threshing floor site, which is on Podomatic. There's a meditation on there that I did probably back in 2011, where I sat down and walked people through a very simple meditation. We put some music behind it. We put some imagery into it in terms of words to just ground, to get quiet, to get to the place where you could start to hear your spirit again.
Yes.
And I can't stress enough that as the noise gets louder, as the cacophony around us thunders, as the warplanes fly and you hear the screams, it's going to become more important than ever to do that, because until we reattach ourselves to spirit, we can't serve our brothers either.
That's right. Yes, that is so true. My goodness, Randy. Good grief. Well, let's go back to our country. What do you see the people doing? It's so fragmented. I mean, this group over here is worried about gun control. This group over here is worried about paying taxes. This other group is worried about Obamacare. They've got they've got people so divided, you know.
Yeah, that's by design. As for gun control, good luck with that. We're swimming in guns in this country.
Yeah.
Every time Obama was elected, gun sales went through the roof.
Yeah.
You know, there's tons of ammo, lots of reloaders. We're loaded to the teeth. I don't have a problem with that, but the problem is that this could go a number of different ways right now.
Okay.
And probably one of the worst case scenarios would be that in order to get back our organically constituted, and I'm using these terms loosely because maybe in another show we can go through the Constitution, the Magna Carta, and all the documents, and I'll explain what I believe about them. But, you know, as a frame of reference, let's just say the organically constituted United States as it once was, which was a small U, United States of America, the individual states being each unto themselves a sovereign state. But in order to get that back at this point, we're faced with a horrible dilemma because we have this monstrosity called Homeland Security that's been grown up in our midst like a gigantic bamboo garden that's just eating everything now.
Yeah.
And we have a police state with militarized police around us.
Yes.
We have a military that seems to be divided. The word is that within the Pentagon, the generals are not happy about the direction of the country. They understand the issues. They actually hold the power to remove Barack Obama, if not the Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama and every other chief executive officer of the corporate United States has claimed he is the commander-in-chief of the military, which I believe would place him under the authority of judge advocate generals in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So within the Pentagon, it's been said for a number of years by insiders that there are those in the Pentagon that are well aware of this, simply waiting for the will of the people to move to a point where they would be enabled to act, meaning they would have sufficient popular support to be able to go ahead and do what they legally and constitutionally probably can do.
Yeah.
But in doing so, we risk a civil war.
Yes.
Civil war this time has to do with the armed citizenry of the country versus the armed police state of this country, which would include Homeland Security, certain military factions, and the militarized police with boots on the ground in every state, county, and municipality.
Hmm. Well, that's true, Randy, but there are a lot of people that would stand behind the removal of a lot of the politicians and the president, you know, the whole nine yards. It's not just the showcase president. The Israel lobby owns most of the congressmen.
Of course I do. The control grid for Israel is immense. I mean, you have IPAC, which is deeply entrenched.
Yes.
You have Jewish Defense League. You have B'nai B'rith, which is highly financed, which is part of the Eastern establishment that nobody really talks about anymore.
Yeah.
These were the things that the John Birch Society talked about when I was a kid that my father used to tell me about.
Yeah.
And it's not only that, but the Zionist overlords are so entrenched through our banking system where they absolutely control everything. I mean, all of our, I don't want to sound bigoted, Semitic, or racist, but it's kind of like every time the Federal, pardon me,
mm-hmm.
Every time the Federal Reserve Chairman is now appointed, I have to ask myself what Jew is going to be next.
That's right.
This time we got the female Jew.
Yeah.
So the answer is that, yeah, they are the overlords. They are the serpent gods of the financial, economic, political, religious system.
Gosh.
Sounds pretty horrible when you put it that way. I'm being blunt for a reason, because I need to whack people over the head with this reality.
Yeah. Well, you know, they can say you're anti-Semitic and you're this and you're that.
Well, showing the Palestinian people is anti-Semitic, let's not forget, they are Semites too.
That's right. That's right. And they probably have more Semitic blood in them than these Jews that call themselves Jews but are not Jews.
Yeah. And, you know, the point isn't the bloodline.
That's
because
right.
Because that's not really what this is about, again, as spiritual people.
That's
you see,
right.
They've planted that meme in us, the idea of chosen people, the idea that one race is better than another. You know, the Aryan Brotherhood, the Islamic seed, the serpent seed, all of that. There are in our world those who are of other bloodlines, who do not belong to the human race. There are beings here who are soulless, who are archonic, and they are the ones that we should be turning against in a unified way as a race called human beings.
Yes.
But they've split us and divided us in so many different directions that now they just leave us to continue cutting away at each other.
Yeah.
A strategy that has been eminently successful from their standpoint.
You know, I've been reading a book, and it's very interesting. It is called Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. And it's the author is Alison Weir, W-E-I-R. It is, my goodness.
Yeah, well, the U.S. was used to create Israel.
Yes.
And in fact, even in the hours leading up to the signing off of the establishment of the formalization of the State of Israel, Harry Truman, a 33rd degree Mason, was
yeah.
not comfortable with this.
Wow.
It was basically, once again, they had their puppet in office who had to sign because he has oaths. He may have been blackmailed. Who knows what was going on. But they got their way. Just like they forced Wilson into World War I, how they forced the Federal Reserve Act through. They've always got their puppet in the office who will sign off. But, yeah, I mean, this was never a fait accompli. The United States should have never entered into this. And I'm sure this book probably breaks out a lot more detail than I have right now.
Well, it starts off with, it's very interesting, Randy, a small group of men who believe in this idea, you know, and they gather support slowly over the years, and it gives names, dates, places, their meetings. How this was done is just amazing. It is amazing. Absolutely. Oh. And if people would just get this book, it's not all that expensive. It's not a big book, but it is packed with facts and information. Against Our Better Judgment.
So what year does that book mark as the beginning of this formation?
It goes back, if I remember right, to the 1800s.
Okay, probably about the mid-1800s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about the time you start to see the formulation of dispensationalism.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of a separate covenant between God and Israel and God and the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Even though the New Testament says that we're spiritual Jews in Christ, that all gets thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And that's actually where you start to get what leads into the Scofield Reference Bible, because that was what was being bled into it. And that was coming out of Oxford.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well,
it was actually a very old strategy, and it was actually a Jesuit strategy as well. When you go back and you start to look at the history. When I was researching the history of the rapture, I discovered that a lot of people attributed the rapture to Margaret MacDonald, which was probably 1838.
Yeah.
But it was a much earlier idea, going back to the 1700s, and a pair of Jesuit priests.
Oh, boy.
Who had early formulated this idea. And it wasn't really heavily embraced by the Catholic Church, but it sat out there. It was Emmanuel Lacunza, as I recall, that had formalized this idea of the rapture. And these people work history from an angle we don't understand. 100 years to us is beyond our lifetimes, but the master planners of all of these things work in 100-year cycles.
Yes, they do.
So to them, they're not bothered by the fact that they don't get an immediate spark off of something that they just did. They're sowing ideas into the collective consciousness that later gain seeds to foment the next level of their very clever, illusory state of control.
That's right.
You know, so this is a very old idea that, you know, served the purpose now. And again, it's part of the Armageddon script. It fits perfectly with this modern era we're in after the establishment of Israel and the endless wars that have gone on, and how the Middle East is a powder keg, and what these idiots on Facebook were arguing about today, the Gog-Magog War, which they believe is what's going to happen, I guess, a conflagration with Russia and Israel that is the powder keg for the great war that it becomes Armageddon.
Yeah.
You know, and that we need to have this war so that Jesus can come back and trample everybody up to the bridle.
Blood up to the horse's bridle.
Blood up to the horse's bridle, you know. This bloody religion of Yahweh is woven through all of this crap.
Mm-hmm. True. True, true. Oh, you know, the Armageddon thing, you know, well, going back to the book of Numbers, where Joshua goes into the land and all that, and this Yahweh dude says, you know, I will go before you. I want you to go in there and kill every man, woman, and child, and animal. But the little caveat is, but you big soldier guys, you can keep all the girl children for yourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and then they say, well, that was to help cleanse the blood of any foreign people from destroying,
or Nephilim, as it's often interpreted.
Yeah, yeah, and then Jesus' bloodline would be pure. Well, excuse me, people have been messing around, you know, for thousands of years. Nobody's bloodline is pure. I mean, my gosh, that's just a cop out.
Well, again, you know, I'll say it again. There was no prophecy in the Bible. This was all a script.
Yeah.
We have our holy men, our avatars, our messiahs who come and go. They've come by many different names, and most of them have been rejected, or most of them have started something that was spiritual that got bastardized and turned into a religion. So, you know, what's Jesus prophesied in the Old Testament? I don't know. I can't prove that or disprove that because these guys rewrote the book so many times that
it's
corrupted.
Yes.
And what do I care? I look at his words, and his words have a resonance.
Mm-hmm.
If you lived by that, if you just did what Thomas Jefferson did and take everything else out and live by those words, we'd be better people.
Yeah.
But where we got to drag him? Oh, we've got to go back. We've got to go through Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah. Then we've got to check it with Paul first. Make sure you check with Paul first. Mm. Because if Paul says it's good, it's good. You're right, you're good to go. Well, that's convolution. That's deliberately creating a state of tension within the work itself. It's not consistent. The Bible is not consistent.
Right. I mean,
you know, the first king, Saul of Israel, was punished for taking things out of the land when he was plundering and pillaging. They were told to destroy everything, and apparently he missed something, and God was completely pissed, and Saul's out. He's gone. You get David. And David's great, too, because he's an adulterer. So, ultimately, what you conclude is we're fallen people, and we need to go back to spirit and stop being led around by this bloody God that is ruling over us through the archons that are part of this global ruling elite system now.
Absolutely. That, oh boy, is that ever true, Randy. You know, there's so many times in that book where they say, God told me, and I heard his voice, and la-da-da. Well, what's to say that since the Anunnaki were around, that there was a technology that they could do things like that.
You don't mean voice to skull technology.
Yes.
And, well, that's exactly what I've thought for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've seen it in modern times. We know what voice to skull technology is.
Yes.
That's part of the black technology that's being deployed regularly. And I've interviewed people who have been at the brunt of voice to skull technology.
Oh.
I know some personally.
Oh. Randy.
And then there's this, what does Joseph Farrell call it? Private interpretation?
Yes.
Well, I thought that no scripture of God was to be a private interpretation, and now we've got, gosh, we've got 20,000 million idiots out there interpreting everything. Some of them just called me a heretic on Facebook today.
Well, I'd rather be a heretic than plugged into the thing they're plugged into.
Well, as Joseph Lumpkin has said, you can't have heretics without an orthodoxy, and who gets to determine that?
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Oh, my gosh.
Well, if I'm a heretic, I'm in good company, and I'm very comfortable with that because I worked very hard to get to that place.
Well, you know, now there's people in government who want you to tell them what religion you believe in. And if you say...
And if you don't tell them, one will be assigned to you, by the way. When you go into the armed forces,
yeah,
you are basically assigned one. You don't give them one, they'll tell you you're a Protestant or a Catholic, or, you know, they need to know that because there's authority within the religious structure.
Hmm.
Ultimately, the temporal authority right now lies with the Vatican, who have a legal claim, largely because we gave up our own individual sovereignty to the state and to the religious system. And the Vatican actually holds a title deed right now. It's basically Luciferic in origin.
Yes.
And, so they want to know your religion because they need to know where to send the death certificate to collect the insurance money.
Yeah, your bond. Mm.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah, it's all cashiering.
Yes, absolutely it is. Explain that in a little more detail for people about the Vatican.
The Vatican is the temporal world government. There's little doubt about it. You just look at the way it's structured. It's been around. It is the Roman Empire. It simply migrated in a way that it was able to expand itself and set up its authority.
Mm-hmm.
It not only believes that it's constituted to be the global government, but in fact it is. But again, like I said, this is the title deed. It's what you would look at as an overlay. They've created grids. They did it by expansion, by conquest, by bloodlust.
Yes.
Pillaging. They built their churches on ley lines. They established strategic outposts on every continent. And they were able to, therefore, take dominion. And all the governments of the world ultimately go, I mean, every president, every prime minister of every nation goes to meet the Pope and kiss his ring.
Even the Arab potentates have done that.
Of course they do. Of course they do. Because that is the sphere of global governance at this time. And, you know, so when we go back and we talk about taking our country back, the question is, did we ever really have it?
Yeah.
You know, I posted this on my YouTube page a few weeks ago. I came across a video of the comedian Dick Gregory. And those people who are of a certain age will remember Dick Gregory. He was popular in the 60s.
Yeah.
Black comedian, one of the real, probably even before George Carlin, a comedian who was actually awake and aware and being relevant. He was arrested. He was arrested at protests over the Vietnam War. And I believe he also spent time in prison from IRS transactions. But Dick Gregory said something in the course of this video, and when he said it, I went, he's absolutely right. He was talking about how Americans want to take their country back, how America at one time was good, but then it just all went to hell. And he looked straight into the camera, dead serious, deadpan face, and goes, let me tell you something, it was never good.
You're right.
Because it's an artificial construct.
Yes.
The idea of America is that it is a spiritual land, just as that temporal governmental overlay at the Vatican is an artifice. It's a corporation. And the only way we're ever going to separate all this is when we take back our own identities, our own names, our own spiritual identity, and we begin to discern the land from what has been paved over it and had signage put on it, and men have been allowed to put down ordinances and continue to control their fellow man under the notion that there are nobility, that there are superior or higher powers.
Yeah.
Of governance. This is not going to be a political or a war action. It is a consciousness. And it's a consciousness that every person has to begin to work out for themselves, because you'll begin to be free the minute you realize that you are free.
Yes. Absolutely true. Oh my gosh. Well, Randy, how, you know, I wouldn't... How can the ones of us who are awake go about letting the good guys at the Pentagon know that they've got plenty of support? There's a lot of military that would support it.
There are, in every state, militias.
Yes.
And I don't talk about this a whole lot, but I will just say this. Those who are ready will know where to look. There are militias out there. They are legal. They are constitutional. They are not gun nuts. They are not insurrectionists.
Mm-hmm.
They are part of what you would call the... what was the term in the Constitution? A well-regulated militia.
Yes.
Well, the well-regulated militia are the citizens.
Yes.
See, the badly regulated militia is what we have now in the military-industrial complex.
Oh, boy, yeah.
But even more than this, you have to go in the spirit. And you have to make decisions every day, and some of them are painful and horrible. You become responsible for what you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we start making decisions little by little. Where we bank, how we spend our money, what we give our attention to, how far we're willing to knuckle under when the pressure comes down from the would-be, as if so-called police officers.
Yeah, yeah.
When they demand to see your papers, when they want to use force to make you do something, when they insist that you must have an ID in order to be able to travel, it becomes a daily process of decision-making, and you have to pick your battles carefully.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who are in prison right now because they blindly followed people who were part of sovereign citizen movements.
Yeah.
You know, they went foolishly and recklessly off into that good night, filing papers they should have never filed, going into courts. I don't recommend going into the courts because they're courts of equity. They are not common law courts, and they are certainly not courts that have jurisdiction over divine, living, breathing souls. It wouldn't be my choice, but if you wind up there, then that's another script altogether. So we just make our decisions day by day now. And I don't believe we were left here to die in the darkness. I believe that we are the light, and I think that each person who follows their individual spirit will find direction.
Well, say supposing someone doesn't make their house payments and they refuse to contract with the alleged mortgager. How does that play out, Randy?
Well, again, this is where, you know, you have to start digging deep, and there's a lot of information and misinformation out there. There is no contract.
Right.
Anybody that ever examines a mortgage document, if they look at it holistically, they're going to understand there's no contract, because there's only one conclusion you can make when you look at these contracts, is that there's only one signature on the paper.
Yeah.
Corporation cannot sign a contract.
That's right.
Corporation cannot create a contract. A corporation cannot be the guarantor of a loan, because a corporation has no ability to energetically create anything.
Yeah.
We are the guarantor and the originator of all contracts. And if you go back and you look at the joint congressional bills, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, sorry, HJR, but I don't remember the numbers now. In 1933, you're going to find out that the Bankruptcy Act mandated that the government was to be the trustee for the American people, which means that we were the beneficiaries of the trust resulting from the bankruptcy. It was basically designed to be a pay-and-go system, that we were not supposed to have to go and put up our firstborn child in order to buy a car, a house, a consumer item, or to start a business in this country. So the contract law, as we see it today, is basically skewed towards the artifice, which is corporations, and there is no living, creative being behind them. Now, that sounds abstract and spiritual and all nice, but you go, what the hell do I do with that? Sit down and read your documents. And then ask for original documents. I guarantee you that no bank is holding the papers,
right,
because they sold them.
They what?
They sold them.
Yes. Yes, they sold them.
You originated this money that generated energetically the funds to purchase your house. They told you that you were a debtor, in parentheses at the bottom of a contract where they converted your name on a dotted line from a living human soul who signs their names in ink, in mixed case letters, into an all capitals artifice, because the artifice cannot do business with the living soul.
Right.
And in fact, if you go back and you look at some of the law dictionaries, you're going to find out that these contracts are constructed in a way that completely nullifies and voids them. They use all kinds of parenthetical constructions, commas, semicolons, colons, parentheses. Anything between two bracketed items is considered to be extraneous, superfluous and null and void in terms of the body of the contract itself. So maybe that helps somebody out there to read a contract and understand that it's not a contract and that you're not a debtor.
Yeah. Yeah, well, some mortgage companies, you'll send paperwork asking for information, asking for the Wed Inc. contract, and they will send back to you a letter stating that they do not recognize your paperwork.
Of course they don't. No, they don't. They can't. You see, the moralist thing about it is it's so compartmentalized that you have layers of idiots.
Yes.
The only people that you... Okay, I'll give you an example of how I would deal with situations like this and what I do now. I do not deal with the corporation. I do not deal with anybody who calls themselves the president, vice president, secretary, CEO, or any other title, usually in all capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
Locate the living being, the proper name, mixed case letters. Generally, you'll either want the CEO or the CFO or the person who's using the title of counsel, but you do not want to address your correspondence to them as that. You want to send it to that living soul.
Yes.
At some level of these corporations, they do know this. But it is well hidden, it is not talked about, and once they realize that you know this, you just change the game.
Wow. That's very important information.
Well, this is actually the material that is still being developed. This is actually the debt termination information that's on my website. And the website is offplanetmedia.net for this, debt termination. That was developed by the soul in Arizona who went by the name Living Being for our purposes, and there's recordings of him on the website. I'm sad to say that he passed away several weeks ago.
Oh, no.
And I've been in contact with his group and with the his assistant. And we're going to continue to do the work. We're going to continue to do the information. I've basically been entrusted to publicly try to break this material out. I'm humbled by that task.
Yes.
But I will tell you that within those recordings, they're difficult to hear. He was aged when these recordings were made, and his voice is very difficult sometimes to parse, but the recordings I put up on the website are as high quality as I can post online. And it's, you know, there's 3 hours of sessions where he breaks out the details of his discovery regarding things like contracts, the Federal Reserve, the tax system, the historical underpinnings of documents like the Magna Carta, the Constitution, and our modern-day statutory law system.
Mm.
And this is information that certainly is not difficult, but it's a starting point. There's a resonance to it.
Yes.
Unfortunately, there's no way to do a how-to manual on this. Everybody's kind of got a different game. My situation's different than yours. It's different than listeners out there. But the information's out there. The truth can't be suppressed, Georgianne. We know this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's bloody inconvenient that the Dead Sea Scrolls just happened to appear right around... Oh, that's right. It was 1947, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And they withheld them for a long time.
Still withholding. There's you know, but we have, you know, even in terms of these scriptures, truth can't be suppressed. It will crawl up out of the rocks in the ground to be seen. It's not to be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
So even though information is difficult to find, difficult to understand, it's still there.
Well,
and I've tasked myself to try and bring some of this stuff out.
Well, many blessings to you for the work that you're doing, Randy. It is immensely important. And I want to give you kind of my take. And tell me what you think. Okay, you go in, you buy a house, you sign a contract. They have it for a little while, you make 3 or 4 or 5 payments, and then they sell the contract to somebody else. Well, the original person that you had the contract with accessed your bond and was totally paid off for the house. And then they sold it to someone else that you have to continue making payments to.
Well, there never was a
big scam.
There never was any debt. You originated the value of that transaction upon your signature.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're the only person who could create that.
Mm-hmm.
The corporations don't own anything. They don't control anything. This is a myth. This is how you have the type of massive scandalous bond markets, collapses of economies, because you can write derivatives all day on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
You can sell it 1,000 times and then turn it into bonds and sell it to foreign nations.
Yeah.
And use that as collateral for the IMF to go in and take over the natural resources of a country under the rubric of being corporations. And that's the bondage of the land again. Boom, we're right back in debt again. And how did we do it? We created the contracts originally.
Oh.
No king, no pope, no banker, no Zionist reptilian overlord has the right to create anything, because only living, breathing, spirit-filled souls can create. God creates, and we are the children of God. All things are created by us and for us.
Yes.
Now, you want theology? That's real theology.
Yes, it is. Oh, boy. You're not kidding.
If I sound kind of bold and kind of aggressive about this, it's because we don't have a lot of time anymore.
Right.
I mean, people need to wake up, and they need somebody to kick them in the butt sometimes and say, look, it's time to wake up now and get real.
Yeah.
Because if you don't take your power back, somebody's going to take it from you, and it's going to cost you your life, and it's going to cost you the lives of your children.
Mm. Randy, you know, numerous people are saying, If people think it's bad now, just wait for what's coming. It will be 1,000 times worse. And they never describe what this worse is supposed to be. What are they talking about?
Well, they're creating imaginations that they want you to run with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because worse to you might not be so bad for somebody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all relative. That's just a doomsday effect. It's part of the Armageddon scripture, Jan. It's kind of like, well, what's worse than the world blowing up and everybody being killed? Oh, well, let's turn their seas to blood, and let's slowly poison them, and then we'll throw them in hell for, like, oh, I don't know, a couple of eternities, and we'll torture them. How's that work out for you?
Oh, boy.
See, tomorrow can be and look like whatever we want it to look like. We have to stop accepting the fatalistic scenarios of these doomsayers and begin to realize that it's a beautiful universe that was created by an all-encompassing God who really does care about us, but we're children and we need to grow up and stop breaking our toys.
Absolutely true. Oh, you said that so beautifully, Randy. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Ah. Let's visit the Ebola issue briefly again.
One more second. I'm going to close the door here. I've got children running around. Hold on.
Okay.
I apologize for that.
That's okay. And I have dogs that I have to let in and out.
My cat pushed my door open.
Oh.
There was noise coming from another room. The Ebola.
Yeah. There is a document that shows that the United States Corporation owns the patent And don't you know, Monsanto has jumped on it and wants to back the vaccine for it.
Well, there's your answer right there.
Yeah.
Problem, solution.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a vaccine for it. Well, I would have guessed that because that's really what they want to do, is they want to vaccine everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're basically looking to complete the architecture of terraforming. This is my opinion. There's science out there that backs this, but I'm speculating a bit here. The terraforming of the Earth, the chemtrailing, the things that man has done to the planet, HARP, all of the vaccines, what they're basically doing is sewing binary nanites into our system and into our bodies as a basically Terminator control system. So my guess is that they want to aggressively vaccinate people. They need a pretext to do that. They also want to scare people, and nothing scarier than dying while you're bleeding out of your eyes. So,
yeah.
let's pick, again, the imaginations of man. I'll go back to the words of Jesus. You can drink deadly poisons and not die. You can handle serpents and not be bitten.
Right.
We are living under the spell of these overlords, which continue to convince us that they have the ability to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, somehow, mankind has continued to prosper and thrive over eons, despite the fact that he has been constantly, it's like spraying roaches in a kitchen, and they just keep coming back. I mean, that's kind of a really crude view of humanity in terms of our resilience as a race.
Yes.
And again, you know, there's enough people out there that in their imaginations create the scenario to bring it into fruition. Is it a threat? Yes. Like I said, I think to you off air tonight, they can maybe kill a few hundred thousand of us if they airborne the Ebola into the chemtrail system or the water supplies or whatever carrier they choose.
Mm-hmm.
But they risk what happens with those who survive and wake up and realize what has been done to them by this government.
Yeah.
Because if you want to see a bloody insurrection and a civil war, that will be what happens in America once that information comes out. And that information is already out there. It's being sown across the internet as we speak. It has been for the last week.
Yes.
This government does not want to risk what would happen. Their underground bases will not save them. They cannot just en masse fly off to Mars or whatever off-world places they have right now fast enough to escape the wrath of the people who would survive such an incredible Holocaust as that.
That's right. That's right. You know, you mentioned off-world. You know, they're always taking stuff up to the space station. I mean, huge amounts of stuff. What in the world are they doing, Randy?
They've been doing this for decades. We've been in space long before we had a space program.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think, you know, if you don't know about that, I would point listeners to go to secretspaceprogram.org, and you can find online videos there that were done at a conference in San Mateo, California, back in July, that will give you all the evidence that indicates that people like Joseph Farrell, Kathanos, and Fitz, and a lot of other high-profile researchers have talked about the fact that our governments have, in fact, had off-world presence, secret space program for decades, probably since the 30s or 40s.
Yeah. Yep. That's a fact.
That'll trim your mustache.
Yeah, it will curl it. That's for sure.
Sir Tan, can you get this guy off? He's like, you know, he's really peeling my wallpaper right now.
Oh, okay. Everybody, go to threshingfloor-radio.com and also offplanetradio.com and listen to Randy Moggins. Very brilliant man. And also, the audio files that we're working on are at the Byte Show. Go to the audio library, click on Randy Moggins' name, and the page will open up. So God bless everybody out there that's listening. Good night.
Good night.